Hallelujah. Let's stand up and worship.
Anybody know anything that God can't do? All things are possible through Him who created us, who redeemed us, who saved us. There's not one thing he can't do. Amen? Amen. Lord, we just give you all the honor and the praise this morning. We thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to lift up your name and to hear from your word. We thank you for the place to be able to meet together, Lord, as a family, as a church family, as the body of Christ. And Lord, may we bring honor and glory to you today. May your name be lifted up, for you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We praise you and we thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, greet somebody. Get out and greet someone and tell them you're glad they're here at church this morning. Amen. Amen, amen. A few of you still greeting. So glad you're here today. Want to say welcome to all of you, whether you've been here 1,000 times or whether this is your first time. Thanks for being here. If this is your first time online, we're waving at you. Hello online, and so glad that you have chose to join us today here at Noble Assembly. If this is your first time and you didn't receive a little card, there's a card in the seat back in front of you, and you can fill that card out and place it in the offering bag. Just give us a record of your attendance. And once again, thanks for being here. Thank you for being here. Got a few announcements for you this morning. Tonight is our next Connect Group experience. It'll start at 5 o'clock, and Pastor's leading that. They're going to have some worship and kind of some food. It says bring some chips and dip or a salad or dessert. Yesterday, I went out for a run, and as I do often at the end of a run, sometimes I end at my parents' house. And, Pastor, I ended this run at my parents' house, and my mom is bringing all these desserts out. And it's the first time I've ever looked at my mom and said, "Get behind me, Satan." I didn't mean my mom was Satan, but I was just talking about the temptation of the desserts. And so it was touch and go whether I was going on the missions trip today, because those desserts look good. But you guys are going to have a wonderful time. We'd love for you to be here and be a part of that. And so be praying for us as we go on the missions trip. There's 34 of us headed out today to go serve at Mission Arlington. And we're super excited about that. Amen. Amen, amen. Pray for supernatural energy and patience for my wife. So, also, March 19th and 26th, next couple of Sundays, we're having a missions convention. We have some wonderful missionaries that are going to come in and share their hearts and what's going on in their ministries. Don't want to miss that, so make sure you're here. And the next couple of Sunday nights, we've got some awesome events coming up. A women's ministry event. They're going to be here having a dessert night and talking about local outreach. Our own Michelle Boydston will be challenging you ladies to think outside the box when it comes to outreach in our community. And so that'll start at 4 p.m. You can see that in the bulletin. And then we also are going bowling, all right, on the 26th. And so if you want to do that, would you sign up just so I know how many people are going? We'll pay that day, and so you don't have to pay in advance for that. Lots of stuff happening, and so just read your bulletin. Not enough time to talk about all of it, but I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, ushers, for serving faithfully. And as they come, I want to just remind you that April 2nd, the first Sunday night of April, is our annual family meeting. And so we want to make sure you know that, you don't miss it. And, man, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for all you blessed us with. And we ask right now that you continue to pour your Spirit out upon our church. Lord, that we would continue to present the gospel to the community around us. Lord, we never want to hold the truth of the redemptive Savior inside of a building. But God, we want it to go with us and everywhere we go, so that people would know that there is a way, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we thank you for all that's given. Multiply it, that the gospel may be furthered. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go back into worship.
There is one who's stronger.
we give you the praise and glory and honor for all that you bring us through, Jesus. God, we praise you, Jesus. We praise your name, God. If we could sing for eternity, Jesus, and never praise you enough, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. You're worthy. Jesus, Jesus. God, we praise you, Jesus. Jesus.
Who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine? Perhaps creation longs to have the words to say, but this joy is mine. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is for
Jesus, we glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you the name of Jesus Christ.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Come on, let's praise that name this morning. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift you up. We magnify your name. We honor and we glorify your name, God, today in this place. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord God, today. We magnify you. We give you praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd like for all the team that's going to Arlington this week to come and stand across the front here. We want to have special prayer time for them, all the teens and sponsors that are here today. I know some aren't here from another church. Just face the front, or face me. Face me. Stand back there on that line back there. Back a little bit, because I'm going to have people come behind you and stand behind you, so get it all figured out here. Come on down this way. Scoot down here a little bit. All right. If you're a parent, or if you just want to come and stand behind these young people, or friend, you just feel like you want to come pray for them, come and stand behind them if you would. Guys, scoot up where people can get behind you. There we go. We just want to have a special prayer time for them. Pray that the Lord would use them mightily and anoint them and bless them, and pray that they get there safely and arrive home safely. That's always my prayer. I want the Lord to use them down there, but I also want the Lord to bring them back safely as well. So just stretch your hands, those that are on up front, stretch your hands toward these and lay hands, those that are standing behind them, and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just commission these young people and these sponsors as they go to Mission Arlington this week. We just pray, God, that you would bless them as they travel. Keep them safe, Lord, there and back. We pray, Father God, that lives are changed, not only the lives of people that they minister to there in Arlington, and people that they come in contact with, and children that they do stories and Bible lessons with, and people that they help with the needs, Lord, as they make deliveries to those that are in need of things. Lord, we just pray that you open doors of ministry and opportunity to lead people to Christ. But Lord, we also pray for you to touch each one of these young people and each one of these sponsors, that you would do something special in their heart and in their life, Lord. Plant the seed for future ministry involvement. Plant the seed for future, possibly lifetime involvement, a full-time vocational ministry, if that's your plan for some, Lord. Just make this a life-changing week, we pray, for not only those there, but these that are going, and those from the other church and more that are accompanying them as well. Lord, we just pray for your blessing. We pray for your hand of protection. We pray for your anointing upon each one, and we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we continue to pray for others who are sick, Lord, today, those that are in need of your touch of healing in our church family and associated with our church family. We pray for them as well, God, those that are unable to be here today. We just pray that you minister strength and healing and help to them. And we thank you and we praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, guys, for coming and sharing your heart with people this week. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We do hope to see as many as possible tonight at 5 p.m. Following the service, in case I forget to mention this later, we could use some guys to help us set up about 8 tables back there and set up for the meal at 5 o'clock. We'll be having sandwiches, and the church will be providing those and the drinks if you bring other things, as Pastor Phil mentioned earlier. We'll have a great time tonight singing and sharing testimonies, singing the old hymns. We're going to drag out the brown hymn books from years before, and we're going to go whatever you want to sing, we'll sing. I'll lead those. Don's going to play, and we'll have a great time singing the old hymns. And I think in between the hymns, or ever so often, we're going to have people share a testimony. Remember the old testimony service, you know? We're going to have people get up and say what the Lord means to them, and I think it'll be a wonderful time. Praise God. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. We're continuing our series on Remarkable. looking at the life and the teachings of Jesus. The title of the message this morning from the verses we're going to look at, starting at verse 21, we're going to read through verse 25. The title of the message is from a song that was made popular many years ago by the Imperials, I believe, and others have sang it, called "Didn't He Shine?" Carol was in a singing group when she was in high school and early college, and her sister and her another friend of hers actually sang this song and won national team talent over the whole United States in the Pentecostal Holiness Church with this song, "Didn't He Shine?" And so I would play it for you, but she would be very embarrassed, and so we won't play it today. But, you know, I told her, I said, "We're going to play your song." But anyway, "Didn't He Shine?" Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through verse 25. Are you ready? "Then Jesus asked them, 'Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.' Then he added, 'Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them.'" Father, we thank you for your word today, and we pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds and our ears. Let the ground of our heart be like the good soil that we talked about last Sunday, where it will take the seeds of the word that is preached this morning, that it would produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 times what is sown. Lord, let us be people who serve you and have fruit to show that we love you, that we are in tune with you, and that we are endeavoring to fulfill your mission on this earth to reach the least, the last, and the lost. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Jesus is continuing his more formal teaching by once again using what? Parables. Of course, as we talked about last week, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or a simple, familiar action with a profound application. We might call them in today's world illustrations. A lot of ministers and speakers, not just ministers, use illustrations. I'm going to have one here in just a little bit concerning a point that they want to make or to make clearer. And so this parable today is called the parable of the lamp. Now, Jesus starts this parable off with what's called a rhetorical question, meaning a question that he asked to make a point, and he's not necessarily looking for an answer. The answer to a rhetorical question is obvious. It doesn't need to be answered because it's understood. And he starts off, "Would anyone light a lamp or turn on a light and then hide it, not let it shine, put it under a cover, put it under a bed?" He says, "Of course not. The answer is no, you don't do that. When something is hidden from your sight, a good light really aids in helping to find whatever is lost or whatever is not seen." As we look at these verses today, I want us to discover the meaning of these verses and determine their application to our life. So I want to give you four words. Everyone say four words. Four words that will help you understand what Jesus is meaning by these five verses that we read. The first word is encased. Encased. You say, what do we mean by that? The word encased, of course, means something that's covered up or enclosed. It's hidden in a sense. If something is encased in plastic or in a box, it's hidden inside of that box. It's wrapped where you can't see it. Well, since the beginning of time, the Lord has been working his plan, his mission, to redeem and restore fallen man. The Bible says the Lamb, Jesus, was slain from the foundation of the world, meaning that God, in his foreknowledge, knew that mankind would sin, that Adam and Eve would sin and disobey God and eat the fruit from the tree that God said not to eat from. Their eyes would be opened, and all of mankind would be plunged into sin. And so because God knew that, God also set in motion a plan to redeem man, a plan to reverse what Satan did in tempting and them falling into temptation to eat of the fruit and to plunge us into ruin and into sin. This mission that God has been on since the beginning of time, like I said, the Bible says the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. This mission was typified all throughout the Old Testament in the constant sacrificing of animals and bulls and goats and lambs and birds and the shedding of blood and the sprinkling on the altar and all the different things. They all pointed to the once and for all Lamb, the Lamb of God. But in a sense, this mission of God was hidden until the fullness of time came and Christ was revealed. We read those words that say, in the fullness of time, Mary conceived a son by the Holy Spirit. His name was Jesus, and which means Emmanuel, who came to save his people from their sins. And so in time, what was hidden for years and concealed, encased, was brought out into the open. Until then, the Lord was encased in the patterns, in the commands, in the rituals of the Old Testament, as well as the prophecies of the prophets that would predict there was going to be a Savior, there was going to be a Lamb come who would take away the sin of the world. There's a little statement that will help you in your understanding of Scripture, and I learned it in Bible college, and it's really a good thing to think about and remember. The Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Run that by you again. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. It's hidden. It's encased. It's not clear. It's like a mystery. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. All of a sudden it reveals what the Old Testament and the law and the shadows and the sacrifices and all of that was pointing to the whole time. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26 actually says it like this. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. Exactly what I've said for the last few minutes. The message, the plan of God, God's mission to save mankind from their sins and give them eternal life, in a sense, was kept secret for generations, but now it's revealed. So what was once encased or hidden or kept secret is now being brought out into the open. At first, it was known only to a few. But now the gospel would be shared and put up on a stand for all to see. Jesus is the light. The message of the gospel are the beams of that light that are now to be shown into all the world. Jesus has been gradually disclosing his identity and his mission to his disciples and eventually to everyone. You see, at first, even the disciples didn't understand his true mission. At first, the disciples thought he was coming to overthrow Rome. They were under Roman rule. And they thought, yeah, he's going to come and set up his kingdom. He's going to kick Rome out, and everything's going to be cool, and we're going to reign with him, and his mission's going to be here on earth. We're going to be free from Roman oppression and so on. But Jesus' kingdom would be spiritual, not political. It would be eternal, not earthly. It would be internal, not external. Actually, so far at this point in Mark's gospel, the only ones that truly understood the actual identity of Jesus, I think this is so ironic, the only people that truly understood Jesus' mission and who he was were the demons. Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 26, look at this. Suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit began shouting, Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. And in verse 34, so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he would not allow them to speak. So they were declaring, we know who this is. And there was a few times at the first when Jesus would minister to somebody who was sick, and what would he tell them? He says, don't go telling anybody. Keep it to yourself. And of course, they didn't listen. They went about declaring, I'm healed. That man down there, he's a prophet. He healed me and all that. Because Jesus had to disclose his real identity and his mission gradually. And this parable of the lamp is talking about the gradual release and illumination of who Jesus is and what his mission is to this world. Jesus talks about the lamp being hidden under a bowl or a bed, but it was time to now let it be brought out into the light, out into the open. It was time to let him shine. And didn't he shine? Dr. George Wood, in his book on Mark called Fearless, makes a good point on some misapplication of verse 22. Where in verse 22 he says that he came to everything that is hidden will eventually be brought open, and everything, every secret will be brought to light. Some people have said that Jesus is talking about secret sins, that anything you've ever did will eventually be brought out. And let me just read what Dr. Wood says about this, because it's real interesting. He says, in this passage, Jesus is not talking about secret sins. He is talking about his own teaching, the secret of the kingdom, given first to the disciples and subsequently to the whole world. If the disciples from the day of Pentecost forward had not proclaimed him, then Jesus' teaching would have remained under a bowl or bed. Too often this passage is applied to secret sin, with a warning to anyone who commits a private sin that sooner or later what was done in secret will get out. And many times it does get out. However, the Lord was not particularly impressed with those who attempted to humiliate the woman taken in adultery in John 8. He isn't in the business of shaming sinners. The very concept of atonement means to cover. Or as David put it, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God's forgiveness includes his intentional forgetfulness. He isn't interested in broadcasting your failures. Instead, he throws his robes of righteousness around you. So you have to understand the context of what Jesus was saying on this parable. He isn't interested in broadcasting your failures. Instead, he throws his robes of righteousness around you. And that's the heart of the gospel, is it not? God wants to save you. He doesn't come to shame you or condemn you. He comes to save you. Upon repentance, he comes to restore and extend grace and mercy, as I mentioned a little while ago, to the least, the last, and the lost, to everyone. Encased at first, but now being revealed. So what was once encased is now, number two, second word, enlightened. Enlightened. Enlightened means to suddenly be able to see with our eyes and hear with our ears the glorious, life-changing truth of the gospel. To have the veil put there by sin and Satan removed. We read this verse last Sunday, but I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. They need enlightened. They need the veil removed. Unbelievers are blinded by Satan, and they need to see the truth. And the gospel is the power of God, and it can remove those blinders. It can reveal the truth to them. Amen? So the true meaning of this passage is that we, his disciples, in the 21st century, should not hide his words, but openly share the life, the teaching, and the ministry of Jesus with everyone we can. If we have a mouth to speak, we should speak. If we have ears to hear, we should listen. If we have hands to help, we should help. And then they will hear. May we openly share with others the words of life, so that your message does not remain hidden. Do you remember when, I've got a series of questions here. Do you remember when you saw the light? Sing that old song, I saw the light. You remember when you saw the light? How many of you remember when you saw the light? All right. I don't remember the exact day because I was a child. I don't know exact. Some people can tell you the exact date. You know, it was, you know, January 4th, 2018. I can't tell you. I know it was in the 60s. I know I was about 8, 9, 10 years old. When you're raised in church all the time, you don't always remember an exact date. But I know that the Lord came into my heart. Let me ask you another question. Are you thankful and are you grateful for that salvation? Amen. Let me ask you another question. Has the Lord made a difference in your life? When he shone into your heart and into your life, he made a difference, didn't he? You do things differently. You think differently. Your Sundays are different than they used to be, because now you go to church. If you answered yes to any of these questions, then aren't you thankful that someone witnessed to you about Christ? Aren't you thankful someone showed you, talked to you, lifted up the name of Jesus, spoke to you, did something to get your attention off of yourself and off of your sin and off of this world and on to the one who could save you for eternity? Aren't you thankful for that person or persons? Yes, absolutely. And that leads to my next point. Once the gospel, Jesus, was encased, and then you were enlightened, number three, enjoyed. Enjoyed. John 10:10 says it like this. The thief's purpose, who's the thief? Satan. The thief's purpose is to steal, help me out, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. God's purpose is to give us life, and the King James Version says life more abundantly. NLT says a rich and satisfying life. Now, don't let that word rich throw you. It's not talking about money, but it's talking about true riches. The blessings money can't buy. Eternal life, purpose, hope, joy, fulfillment, legacy, peace. All of those things are things that money can't buy. True riches. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11 speak of that enjoyment as well. It says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my what? My joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Talk about overflowing joy. That's pretty great. Joy, when it's not just joy, it's overflowing joy. Even with all the hardships and the suffering the Apostle Paul faced as he worked for the Lord, he never lost his joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He talks about some of his trials. He says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, and during many sleepless nights, I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then he talks about, and I have all this concern for all the churches and so on. But you know what he said from a prison cell in Philippians 4:4? He said, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Even with all of that stuff going on, Paul never lost his joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence, there's joy. There's an old children's church song that we used to sing when I was a kid that went like this. I taught it when I used to do children's church many, many thousands of years ago. It's called Joy is the Flag. I remember that song, Joy is the Flag. Joy is the flag that's flown from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. Joy is the flag that's flown from the castle of my heart. That what? That the king is in residence there. How's the chorus go? So fly it high in the sky, let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. So fly it high in the sky. Let the whole world know that the king is in residence there. How many of you remember that song? Joy is the flag that's flown high from my heart that shows that the king is in residence. The king is there. In terms of the light of Christ, a question for you. In terms of the light of Christ, the king in residence in your heart, how bright would you say that you are shining? Are you shining like a 20-watt bulb, 40-watt bulb, 60-watt bulb? Are you shining like a 100-watt bulb, 200-watt bulb? Are you burned out, not shining at all? I challenge you to think about ways you can shine for the Lord and shine more brightly. Maybe you've been a 40 watt, you want to move up to a 60 watt. Maybe you've been a 60 and, man, I just want to increase my brightness. I want to get up to 100 or a 200 watt bulb. 1 year I served as a night guard down at kids camp, me and Kevin Sawkill. No, Travis. Who's the younger one? Travis. Travis Sawkill. We were on duty. His dad was the camp director, the late Jack Sawkill. So Travis and I, our duty all night long was to stay up, run around on the golf cart, make sure the gates were okay and nobody was doing anything they shouldn't out of the dorms, and, you know, just make sure everything was safe. We weren't wearing guns or anything, but we were, you know, we were the sheriff of Turner Falls. Well, one night, Travis and I got bored. And Brother Sawkill had this light. It said like 10,000 lumens or something. I mean, you look at it, it about puts your eye out. It was so bright. You could shine it from one side of the camp clear to the other and light it up. I mean, it was a huge, bright light. So we're running around on a golf cart, and we got an idea. Now, don't you dare tell anybody I did this. And Brother Sawkill is in heaven now, so he won't find out. But we discovered one day sitting on that golf cart that if we took that light and we shined it at that sensor that shows the sun is up, because the security lights all around camp would come on when it got bright enough. We discovered that if we hit that light just right, it'd stick that light, turn that light out. So we was kind of going around almost like a video game, pew, see if we can knock that light out. It go out. We decided to see if we could get from one side of the camp down through the river, through the creek, up to the other side of the camp, get to the other side, putting out all the lights as we go, and then get back to the other side before any of them come back on again. That sound fun? Aren't you glad to know that your kids were in good hands? So we started off, and we're putting out lights as we go on the golf cart all the way. It's getting darker and darker in the camp. We get to the other side, and we race back, and then they'd start coming back on. But I don't even know why I told you that. But but we were shining bright. We were really bright, weren't we? So that isn't the way, you know, you need to do things. But we need to think of ways to shine for the Lord. And that leads me to my last point in the parable, and that is a number four word, enlarged. Enlarged. Verse 24 and 25 have to do with our capacity. Our capacity for hearing and responding to God. The Lord is challenging our capacity to hear him and to know him. Is your desire, how many of you have a desire to know God? Let me just ask you a question. You have a desire to, you want to hear God. You want to know him. You want to grow, okay? Is your desire to know God about the size of this thimble? You have thimble-sized desire? I hope it's better than a thimble. The capacity to which you have to know God is what God will fill. That's what these verses are saying. The measure that you give to him to fill is what he's going to fill, and even more. It'll overflow. Now, it don't take much to overflow this thimble, does it? A few little drops or so, and you thimble's going to be full and it's going to overflow, but it's not going to take much. But maybe, no, Pastor Steve, I'm not a thimble. I'm at this glass. This is how much I want to know God right here. You know, about $6 worth of God. Oh, no, Pastor Steve. No, I'm a little bigger than that. I won't be like the pitcher. I'm not a thimble. I'm not a glass, but this is how much I want to know God right here. Just one pitcher full. And some of you say, no, I'm better than that. I want this bucket full. I need a bucket full of God. I want to know God as much as is in this bucket. I'm going to overflow this bucket. I have a red bucket's desire for God. I hope that we would all say that, no, we don't desire the thimble or the glass or the pitcher or the bucket, but yeah, I want to know God this much. I want him to fill this garbage can full of his grace and love and mercy in my life. This is my capacity to know God. This is what I want. Can I tell you that just a tiny bit of the overflow of this thimble doesn't even compare to the overflow of this bucket? Because the Lord says, I will fill you up even more. He said there in Mark, he said, the closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given and you'll receive even more. The measure you use is what will be given to you. We bring to Jesus the capacity of our measure. That choice of capacity, whether it's thimble, glass, pitcher, bucket, garbage can, 55-gallon drum. The other day I was going to city and passed a hole, had to wait on a train, noticed all those big tankers. I don't know how many gallons those hold, but lots, thousands of gallons, I suppose. The choice of that capacity lies with us. How much do we want to hear? How much of God do we want? He will fill up, there's three stars by this, he will fill up what you offer. Let me say it again. He will fill up what you offer him. The more you listen and want to receive, the more you will be given. The more you want, the more you'll get. And even more. Filled and running over. Your willingness to grow in Christ determines the size of the spillover, the overflow. The more you seek, the more you find. The more you sow, the more you reap. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. And the same with reading the Bible. The more time you spend reading the Bible, guess what? The more you will want to read the Bible. The more time that you spend giving of your time and your talent, the more you'll want to give. Witnessing, it goes with all kinds of things. Deepening of relationships. The more you put out there, the more you will get back. On the other hand, the less you seek, the less you sow, the less of a capacity you have for God eventually will lead to a hardened heart. And the Bible says, not me, I just read it, that you will eventually lose what you have. Verse 25, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away. It's kind of like use it or lose it. Hear me. We must never, never, never come to a time in our Christian journey when we feel we have done enough. And that from here on out, we can just kind of coast to heaven. You can't stop growing, otherwise you go into reverse. Basically what it's saying. If you stop growing, if you stop having a capacity for God and you get comfortable, well, I've done all I can do, I've done my share, then you start going backwards and your heart becomes hardened and you get less concerned with the things of God. And you go backwards. So we must keep going and growing. Will our roles change? Yes. Will our Ministries change, yes. Will different things happen at different times in our life? Yes, but we always must keep growing and going after God. Keep increasing. Don't at one time have this much desire for God and eventually come down to the thimble I got in my pocket. Well, now I just have this much. A few moments ago, we talked about enjoyment. Remember this, the greater the enlargement and capacity you have for God, the greater the enjoyment. Let me say that again. The greater the enlargement or the greater the capacity you have for God, the greater you'll enjoy it. A thimble-sized capacity for God will never compare to a garbage can capacity for God. You see, the scary part of verse 25 where it says, but for those who are not listening, even what they have will be taken away. Our knowledge of God and our sensitivity and awareness of spiritual matters can die and disappear if through simple indifference and apathy we cease to listen or to seek God. As the theologian William Nell noted, our conscience becomes blunted. Our vision of God is dimmed. Our sympathies atrophy. Our love grows cold. This is not something that God inflicts upon us. We inflict it on ourselves. Jesus offers us a choice, the way of life or the way of death. It's not a choice that we have to make once and for all. It is a choice we have to make every single day. As we respond or fail to respond to the challenge of the gospel. We must pray, Lord, enlarge my capacity. Remember a few years ago, a really popular thing that someone somewhat uncovered in the Word of God was the prayer of Jabez. Remember that? It's found in 1 Chronicles 4:10, it says, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Jabez's attitude was, Lord, expand my capacity. Lord, increase my territory. Expand me, Lord. Don't let me be satisfied with just this much of you, God. Lord, expand my territory. Give me more of you. Help me to go deeper with you and higher with you and wider with you. More of you. In conclusion, pay attention to what you hear. That's what he said there. He says, pay attention. Pay close attention to what you hear. Are you doing that? Are you and I diligently turning our ears to the words of life, or are we more diligent to hearing the daily news? Are we more diligent to our television shows than we are to the Word of God and to the witnessing and ministering for the Lord? You see, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and still more added to you. Our growth in Christ is in proportion to our diligent pursuit of Him. The more we pursue Christ, the greater our capacity, the more enjoyment, the more He gives back. Titus 2, 9 and 10 says it this way. Now, Titus is talking to slaves here, or you could, in our terminology today, maybe employees or workers. Slaves must always obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. If we, like slaves, we're all bond slaves of Christ. You know, James referred to himself that way. Paul did. We're slaves of Christ. We must obey him, want to please him, show ourselves trustworthy and good, and then they will make the teaching about God and our Savior attractive in every way. The more capacity, then we enlarge our capacity for Christ, the more we will shine for Christ, the more we will enjoy our walk with Christ. May our capacity for Christ be so that others see the light of Christ and the warmth of God's love wherever we may go. I close with a final story. President Woodrow Wilson told the story of an encounter he had. He said, "I was in a very common place. I was sitting in a barber chair." We got a barber here today, Brother John over there. "When I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut and sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic, showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service. Mr. D.L. Moody was in that chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he had left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barbershop. They talked in undertones. They didn't know his name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts. And I felt that I had left that place as I should have left a place of worship." Didn't he shine? Our lives should be lives that reflect something more than what the world has. Because we have more than they have, we have Jesus. He has saved us. He has forgiven us. He has changed our hearts. He has given us hope. He has given us joy. He has set our feet on the rock, which cannot be shaken. If he does not make a difference in your life, then you either need to be born again or you need to repent of sin and allow him to rekindle the fire of your first love. That's it. Let Jesus shine. Pray, God, enlarge my capacity for you. Increase my desire for more of you. And it will make a difference in your life, in the lives of those around you, in the lives of this community, this church, the world. It will make a difference. And we will enjoy our walk with Christ to a whole new level. Lord, we thank you, God, today. Thank you, Lord, that you shone in our lives brightly. And you are shining yet in this world. And it's our job to take that light, reflect that light, share that light wherever we go, and let it increase. Father God, help us, we pray. Lord, let us, as they're going to sing here in a moment, make more room for you. Make room for you. Forgive us, Lord, where we get so busy with other things that you get crowded out. You're just somewhere we go and something we do on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays. Lord, let us have a greater capacity for you. Not a thimble size, but a 55-gallon drum size. Lord, let us make more room for you. Help us hear you. Help us seek you. and you will be sure to give us even more than we ask. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, let me ask you this morning, I asked you earlier, how bright are you shining? 20 watt, 100 watt? You think the Lord can shine brighter through you? He can shine brighter through all of us. None of us have arrived to the place where we're shining and can't do any more than what we're doing. We can always do more because He always gives more than what we long for. I'd just like for us to make this front of the church an altar of prayer. Around these altars, on the platform, wherever you want to just get before God and say, God, help me shine for you. Can we? I saw a thing on Facebook, said it's time to turn the stage back into the altar. And that hit me. Yeah, it really is. It's time that this stage not be a stage, but an altar. Folks, we need Jesus, and we need to get to the altar so that we can shine even greater for Him. Would you join me in finding a place to pray and say, God, shine even more through me as the ladies come and sing this morning.
To do whatever you want to.
praise your name, God. Let us all stand together. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and give him thanks and praise. Hallelujah, God. We love you, Lord. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. Enlarge our borders. Enlarge our capacity for you, God. Oh, we got a world in darkness that needs the light. The light of your love, the light of your grace, the light of your mercy. Oh, Father God, let us not keep it hidden, but let us shine for you wherever we go, whatever we do. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Praise your name. Lord, we pray that you go with us today. I pray that you just help us, Lord, to shine for you wherever we go. We love you and we thank you. We look forward, God, to what you are going to do in us this week. Again, we just pray that you would be with our young people, Lord. Just keep their hand upon them and bless them, we pray. We ask all this in Jesus' name.